body and a dream of the dead days, following a loss and rise. Living far from here, tomorrow is a fight to find. And it seems like 25 years of promises, and forgive me more. Scenes of the hand-me-down dresses.
All right, good evening, everyone. It is Incendiary Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Welcome, June 4th, 2023. So, did you know today is the third annual Holocaust Survivor Day? Did you know that? June 4th. 3 years ago, the Jewish Community Center in Krakow, Poland, launched Holocaust Survivor Day, a June 4th celebration that has since spread worldwide. Survivors are our treasure and our heroes, living reminders of the strength of the Jewish spirit to rise above evil and maintain its humanity, said Jonathan Ornstein, executive director of JCC Krakow. Jewish Federations of North America, World Zionist Organization, and more than 60 other Jewish organizations are now part of the celebration, amid many that commemorate those whose lives were lost in the Holocaust, of the myriad contributions of those who survived. Blah, 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 blah. Just figured I'd let you know that today is Holocaust Survivor Day. I stumbled upon that on one of my articles that I was just digging around with. So I've got the Declaration of Independence pulled up. And we've all heard this read numerous times. To secure the rights, you know, life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. What a joke that is now, huh? Consent of the governed. Who's consenting to have this Leviathan state drill down on us every single day further and further? Like those 87,000 IRS agents at old McCarthy and MTG and them said they were getting rid of. Yeah. All a joke. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence indeed will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes. And accordingly, all experience has shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. You know, I was thinking about this, and I wrote this down in my notes over the, you know, last couple weeks, because I want to thank the hijacker for doing the broadcast last week, by the way. He did a really good job. Him and I don't see eye to eye on certain things, but that's okay. I'm not some authoritarian radio host that says whoever comes on and if they do a guest spot on my broadcast, I have to agree with everything they say. That's what's great about, you know, freedom of thought and conscience and the rest of this stuff. But I was thinking about the U.S. Code and all of this stuff about insurrection and all this stuff about, you know, attempting to reconstitute legitimate government. This is all at loggerheads with the Declaration of Independence. So all these lawyers, all these legislators, all these judges in this long train of upending the original spirit of the country, everything laid down in the U.S. Code flies in the face of the Declaration of Independence. So we're basically, the U.S. Code makes it illegal to obey the founders' instructions about throwing off government and reinstituting proper government and so forth. So the U.S. Code is sitting there. They're like, it's basically telling you F what the founding guys of the country said. You're going to do what we say now. And if you're not, we're just going to try you for sedition, treason, or whatever. He has erected multitude of new offices and sent hither swarms of officers to harass our people and eat out their substance. And that's something. Imposing taxes on us without our consent. But, all this stuff. Depriving us, in many cases, of the benefits of trial by jury. Or screwing up the trial by jury system to the point that you've got these J6ers sitting in these jail cells while, these New York lawyers can throw Molotov cocktails into cop cars and then they're already, getting off and all this strange stuff. It's getting to the point where it's we're at joke level. Like this. Ibram X. Kendi says felony murder laws are racist. So race hustler Ibram X. Kendi is working to get felony murder laws abolished in the name of fighting anti-black racism. Massachusetts felony murder rule still imposes disproportionate sentences and leads to racial disparities. Well, do you think that might be to the racial disparities and who's actually out here killing people in mass all over the streets in all of our major cities? Dumb. And he's at the Anti-Racism Center. We believe felony murder is unconstitutionally cruel and racist. We filed an amicus brief to get this rule abolished. So what is murder supposed to be, knocked down to a misdemeanor? You take somebody's life and, charge them with a felony. And this is racist. So if you kill somebody under our watch, we'll just, put you on probation or something. I mean, Kendi's move follows Democrats in Maryland pushing a similar anti-racist bill to shield anyone under 25 from being charged with felony murder due to their frontal lobes not being fully developed. And you guys know I covered that months ago when that all started to materialize. This is part of the Marxist march through the institutions. And it is also cocktailed with going after the white population, as we see, and I'll try to get into some of these articles probably a little later, the rationing of water to whites in South Africa. There's a real some sort of spirit that's descended on a lot of these non-white quote-unquote populations that's been given to them by the Revelation 2-9 and 3-9 gang, a real bloodlust. I'm watching these videos of these poor white kids in these schools around our country just getting jumped 3, 4, 5, 6 to 1. And they think that's honorable. This is it's bestial is what it is. It's not this is the regression into beasthood of a large swath of our population that nobody wants to address. It's the fifth rail. Can't talk about that. So you had two big movies drop in the last week or so. You had The Final Days, which was put out by Stu Peter and the folks, and then you have the Plandemic 3 Great Awakening that a lot of people are really pushing all over the place. And I've watched probably the first half of both of them. I just didn't have time to go through them. I really like The Final Days one because it really gets to the crux of the matter. The Plandemic 3 Great Awakening thing, it's good because it kind of shows you somebody that was this filmmaker, and he's been on Alex Jones and a bunch of other interviews where basically he was a Bernie bro in 2016. He was, he's new to the game, but he's into filmmaking and so forth. But that one's pretty good because it really gets into some of these Chinese people that escaped the regime. And that's what I've seen up to that about that part. Really lets them break down the Cultural Revolution and kind of like this attempt at the genderless kind of thing, kind of with a Chinese flavor where like the women would and the men would all just kind of dress in their, I guess you would say, Bruce Lee type uniform, and cut the women's hair and. It was a real war on femininity is what it was. And now we're seeing this stuff on steroids now with this trans and mutilation type stuff going on. I mean, it's just so over the top. And I'll try to cover more of this, but I'm just going through notes right now. The White House Indian op, this terror op with the U-Haul. And the swastika flag and this character named Kandula from Chesterfield, Missouri, by the way, which is very close to me. It's a half hour's drive. Very fascinating. A lot of people from India out in the West County area, a lot of them are business people and work in some of the fortune whatevers that here in the St. Louis area. But I really I looked at this as kind of a mind virus implantation operation. So we've got this Vivek Ramaswamy, this guy running for president, Republican, and he's probably the most articulate person in the race right now across all parties and so forth. I mean, guys, very, very sharp as a tack. Now, whether you think he's full of crap, I mean, he's Harvard mob and all that, but it was also an attack on Tulsi Gabbard. She's a Hindu, and she's been dumping a lot of hardcore stuff out there. An elite cabal of warmongers type rhetoric, and it's also on Nikki Haley. So you got these three prominent, I'm not going to say all three of them are Hindus. I don't know what Vivek's religion is, but he's an Indian ethnicity. Tulsi is kind of, I think, a mixed bag on that one. I think one of her parents is like an Indian Hindu type thing. And then you got Nikki Haley, who changed her name. She's got some long Indian name. And then Kamala Harris is half Indian too. But, it's kind of an interesting op against these. Because now after this one, you're seeing the media trying to stretch saying you don't have to be white to be a white supremacist. So they had the Mexican guy with the fresh SS tattoos that look pasted on or brand freaking new or whatever that did the operation down there at the border. And then you also have this character that's carrying around a swastika, allegedly. Now, somebody in Chicago that had all kinds of goofy things, flags on his little guy, built basically kind of like a scaffolding tower above his house. And he used to go out there with a flamethrower, allegedly, and had a Ukraine flag, a yellow flag with a red kind of spray painted swastika symbol on it, an upside down American flag, and a City of Chicago flag on there. And they say the dude really kind of went off the deep end lately. And he would broadcast recordings like saying F the Chicago PD and F Biden and all this other stuff. But then SWAT moves in on him in the last day or two, and then he allegedly double taps himself and kills himself. Very weird, you know. And look, a lot of people in the spiritual kind of realm of alternative media right now are really talking about the demons being unleashed. Something has, a switch has flipped, so to speak, to where spiritually we've crossed through into another realm where people are kind of hypothesizing that forces of evil that were kept in check previously by, you know, spiritual forces of the Almighty are being let loose in a kind of a sequential fashion here over this time period we're in, to where we're going to reach this kind of a crescendo of evil. And you're seeing some of these video footage on different platforms like BitChute and Rumble and so forth of people really exhibiting the characteristics of what we would normally consider demonic kind of possession slash zombie-ish, almost autopilot, bestial behavior, like licking blood off of their own limbs, that, you know, they're injured in this sort of thing already and they're in the hospital, and then you got cops sitting there watching this guy and he's, you know, he's off in another realm. That could be, you don't know what labs and cartels and chemists are putting into the street drugs right now. You know, it's a free-for-all right now. You know, the border being wide open and who knows what coming up through here. All kinds of probably, you know, you remember like James Bond, and he'd go in and they'd have all these scientists making up new gadgets for him. Well, there's probably a similar thing like this for these drug conduit organizations, to where they've got some evil scientists that work for the intel agencies, or probably some secret wing of DARPA or something of this nature, Mossad, Amman, one of them, you know, like okay, let's tinker with some of this dope. And just like the whole bath salt phenomenon and the spice and the K2 and all this stuff, remember years ago, if those of you listened to the broadcast, I was like playing clips of what was happening to people in certain neighborhoods in New York and this sort of thing. And then this thing with Kensington and Philadelphia busts out with all of this xylazine spiked fentanyl and opening up wounds on people and the zombie like behavior. Very, very just makes you really, really get down on humanity, and you're just like, my gosh, this whole thing's we're right on the teetering on the edge of, like, the, remember you see those old movies in the where they'd be out to sea and you'd have that big, huge whirlpool and it would suck ships down and pirates and sailors down. This is where our country seems to be right now. Now, there's hopium dealers out here that are still saying the white hats are running this whole op, and at the right time, the sun's going to break through the clouds, and everything's just going to be great, and we're going to have a new renaissance, and so forth and so on. I'm very skeptical of that, let's just say, paradigm or, outlook, due to the fact that all this wickedness, it can't go unpunished. What they're doing to these children with this, University of Notre Dame, I got this on LifeSite News, University of Notre Dame tweets support for Pride Month. We celebrate all LGBTQ+ identities. The university name for Our Lady betrays the Catholic faith. It's off the charts retarded right now. Information liberation. U.S. Embassy in the Vatican raises LGBTQI+ pride flag outside of the Holy See. Now, do you think we have to be kind of wise here? Do you think without the so you got Notre Dame doing their thing. Now you got Fox News on it. They're all Mark Dice just put out a video about Fox News going in all in on this Pride Month crap. Do you think without the Jesuit Pope, anti-Pope Francis's permission that Blinken would have flown that flag in the Vatican and the Holy See at the embassy? You think that they didn't get permission? You don't think that the university there at Notre Dame in South Bend, Indiana, where Pete Booty Sludge is from? He was the mayor of old Booty Sludge. You don't think that they didn't get permission from the bishop and all the higher ups to do all this? You got to be crazy. They're all in on this. And Hijacker mentioned this last week about Rob Skiba, who was a big kind of Bible prophecy guy. I've known him. I've been, seeing him off and on in the Bible prophecy circles for years. And, he was one of these guys that kind of really got into the Nephilim side of the house and the giants and, like Steve Quayle and Tom Horn and David Flynn, and you had Skiba and a bunch of other guys. AJ, I can't remember his name. But anyway, Rob Skiba, he kind of moved on towards, he really got onto the flat earth thing. And I was listening to Rents interviewing his wife. And, it really made me think of Robert David Steele and what happened to him in the hospital. And these protocols, these COVID protocols, and then basically, even though they said no vent, no remdesivir, they went against his wife's wishes and so forth, and gave him remdesivir anyway. Which has now been, some of these researchers are saying basically it's full of cyanide. and some people are just stronger than others, and maybe every dose of remdesivir is not the same. Kind of like the lots with the injections themselves, possibly not being the same. But it was it sucks to have to hear people that got caught into this medical death complex during this COVID thing. And, my dad died last year January of 2022, kind of still while this was going on. And I could only imagine some of the hospital systems versus others. Like some of the ones here in my state, they weren't as draconian as far as, you know, somebody goes to the hospital and then you're not going to see your people ever again type thing. Some of these systems are just the epitome of evil. But yeah, it was kind of messed up to listen to that. And there's a lot of people talking about the acceleration of people that are being their age, you know, age acceleration. You're seeing that a lot floating around in various doctors and people that are, you know, on these video platforms talking about what they're seeing. I started rewatching, you know, like audiobook Curse of Canaan by Eustace Mullins. And, you know, it's been a long time since, you know, those books have been out forever, but it's like, I was like, you know, I stumbled upon it. I'm like, well, let me dig back through here. And it's just so much there. So much. It's just, it definitely is worth a. You can find it on BitChute. You can even see it, find it on YouTube. But Curse of Canaan, definitely worth listening to the first few chapters, even if you can't make it all the way through, just to reacquaint yourself with all the concepts in there and really digging through biblical interpretation. Let's just say outside of the Schofield Christian Zio Orthodoxy or Catholic Vatican II Zio Orthodoxy. So it's definitely worth a, you know, if you got want to sit there and lay down and relax and listen to, start digging back into that book, just an audio book, and it's very very good to, you know, I need to get into some of my, I got a ton of books. I need to dig back in and put my nose back in some of these books that I read years ago just to bring myself back up to snuff, because it's like I've forgotten more than I can remember. And it really, you know, it makes you, almost makes yourself, you get mad at yourself. You're like, damn, I remember that. And, you know, you'll see something that jogs your memory. You're like, man, I got to get back into some of this stuff. Coming up on break here, and I was thinking about this. This is in my notes too. The Berlin Wall falling. Communism won. And we'll pick this up on the other side. But communism won when the Berlin Wall fell. It just took a second for us to see it.
I had my fair share of hard times. In my life, I must confess.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available, and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To read more about this amazing breakthrough and to order your terahertz frequency wand, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
We're back. It's radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network. And remember to support the network if you have the means. Some of us are more well off than others. All these hosts do this. You know, we're not here for money. We're here to try to hold the line. Gosh, the onslaught of wicked tyranny and just this in-your-face demoralization ops are just so disgusting. But let's talk about Germany and the Berlin Wall. And Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall with Ronnie. So Gorbachev, he leaves office. Where's he go? He comes to the United States, sets up shop at the Presidio, San Francisco. What else? What does he get into? What's his new shtick? The green movement, right? What do we got now? The Green New Deal. By the way, McFarthy and all the gang of, you know, sick creeps that call themselves conservative Republicans. This little stunt they just pulled. But anyway, so he sets up the green garbage here, this environmental ruse, which is really government socialist control under the guise of environmentalism. Now we're seeing all this stuff with Kerry and the war on farmers. It's all come to fruition. And think about this. Angela Merkel ends up the freaking empress of Germany for all those years, and she was a commie. This all right under the watchful eye of the United States military, with all our military bases there, and our tanks running around, and all the rest of it. Yeah, our great Pentagon, all those generals, they're not going to let communism come. But what did we do? We sided with Stalin. And then look what they did to freaking Patton and everything else. They just basically relinquished everything to the communists. You know, think about the destabilization ops going on here now, but in China, they already got the social credit score in. They're not doing the things to weaken their people the way we are. Now, Russia's had some fifth columns trying to do their thing and, you know, oust Putin and so forth. But Putin, who's, I don't know how long the guy's been in power, long, long time, 20-some-odd years or whatever, they're not tolerating this stuff. So you got this BRICS strengthening. You got Brazil with Lula. You got another hardcore Marxist in there now. You've got the knuckleheads running South Africa. Oh, you know, Putin, isn't he's pro-white. Well, how come him and the Chinese aren't saying anything to the South Africans for what they're doing to the white South Africans? I'm just sitting here thinking about all this. Ken Paxton, this thing going on with the impeachment down there. I'm wondering if this is a Bushite revenge. Remember, George P. ran against Paxton. Paxton won. We know the power of the Bush family in Texas. George W. was governor, got a whole infrastructure set up down there. And is this a Bushite takedown of Paxton? I don't know. I haven't looked into it that closely. There, I've read things on both sides. The speaker's a dirtbag down there. Allegedly, you know, they're all saying all these allegations about Paxton with impropriety, with finances, and kind of palm greasing and all this other stuff. It's hard to say, but I just wondered. When I saw this, is this Bushite attempt at a takedown of the Texas Attorney General due to the fact that George P., the little half Mexican or Colombian or whatever he is, he didn't get the Attorney General spot. So I guess I need to talk about this, and this is probably one of the more important things I'm going to talk about tonight. You know, we just started this whole Pride Baloney month, right? And you're seeing, I'm talking like a glut, like an infestation, like a purposeful stick in your eye level, you know, moves here by the corporations and so forth and so on. Where is this at? Mr. Producer, have clip 12 ready. Oh, good old Larry Fink. Now, remember Bud Light and Anheuser and Target, North Face, all these companies doing things that are like, are you guys suicidal? Are you guys like, do you guys want to lose money for your stockholders and, you know, so on and so forth? Let's listen to clip 12 real quick.
It's just, you have to force behaviors. And if you don't force behaviors, whether it's gender or race or just any way you want to say the composition of your team, you're going to be impacted. And that's not just not recruiting. It is development, as Ken said.
How do you force change, though? I mean, Larry, BlackRock has really been in the forefront of the ESG movement within corporate governance and a real leader. And yet change is so slow. So what is, and Ken as well, how do you force change when it is so incremental and so gradual? How do you do something more radical? Have you thought about that? Has the board of American Express thought about more radical things we could do to enhance diversity and inclusion?
Because it has to be imbued in the culture of a firm. It has to be talked about. It has to be shown. Behaviors across the entire firm in every region have to be similar. And every citizen of the firm has to understand what is acceptable behaviors and what are unacceptable behaviors.
So this is BlackRock. That was Larry Fink. Now you're understanding that a lot of these people are getting leaned on due to the fact that BlackRock owns such large swaths of so many multinational and American companies. So you got them all leaning to go all in on the rainbow, blah, blah, blah. And so we've seen pushback. Now we've seen tranny murder ops of some sort. Could be real, could be fake, could be black operators pulling hits and then leaving the patsy dead at the scene or what have you. There's a lot of ways for these people to set up these ops. So unfortunately, I kind of had this inkling that we might see some very heavy false flag operations aimed at the Pride events coming up. This, I'm trying to find the article I had, but, you've got all these Patriot Front groups and, all of these weird, Fed operations, that are going to very quickly possibly stage a bunch of crap on these Pride events. Here it is. This is on Gateway Pundit. Feds on parade. Patriot Front wannabes, the Aryan Freedom Network, holds protest in Texas. Want you to believe they're Nazis, but they don't even salute with the correct hand. And they're all wearing masks, okay? All little cookie-cutter looking shields. It looks like a bunch of feds. They're all wearing cami pants and black shirts with black hats and masks and sunglasses, okay? They're sitting there, Sieg Heiling, white powering, the American Aryan Freedom Network, and blah, blah, blah. Unfortunately, there could be some big, goofy, crazy things that go down at some of these Pride festivals. I just got that feeling in the last couple days. I'm like, this Pride, this glut in this Pride stuff, they're trying to put it in everybody's faces, and then they're going to say a bunch of people snapped and attacked them or whatever. So that's probably the most important thing. Because, see, all these different cities, they hold them on different days, okay? Okay, so St. Louis will be on Saturday and Sunday towards the end of June. Other cities are holding them probably this weekend and next weekend. You see how it's like a big rotation. And so there'll be these Pride festivities going on all over the country, and these are prime targets for false flags. And then definitely they could really coalesced this into some hardcore anti-gun type deal. And I just wanted to get that put out there. Let's talk about Jamie Foxx for a second. Mr. Producer, get clip 5 ready. And Dr. Peter McCullough has met Jamie Foxx, and he was being interviewed by some black guy, a podcaster. And let's go ahead and listen to clip 5.
Jamie Foxx, there's a picture of you and him. Okay, can you add some details? Because you said in the picture, you said, hoping you held strong the whole time, and you know what I'm talking about. What the hell was you talking about, Doc?
No, we had a personal conversation. I really want Jamie to come out, and, you know, I want him to tell America what happened. And I'm giving him an opportunity to tell the truth. It looked like Damar Hamlin did not tell the country the truth. Jamie's got an opportunity now. You know, I'm told he's been in a hospital with a month with a complicated stroke. Tell you what, when I have a patient in the hospital with a stroke, they're in and out in a couple of days. If someone's in for a month, it's a serious situation. Or they go to rehab, a young man. And let me tell you, Jamie Foxx, he's younger than I am. He's fit and strong. So I want him to come out. If he wants me to come on TV with him and help go through this, I will. But that's up to him. Sooner or later, these public figures, Jim, are going to have to tell the public the truth. We've had so many people, you know, Justin Bieber and his wife and Marvin Hagler and the CNN legal correspondent.
Yes.
You can go on and on and on and on. And until they come out and tell the truth, more people will be hurt. It's up to them. You know, I've been very clear and truthful with America. People know that. I've testified in the Senate, multiple state senates. I've been as very clear. But it's time for the public figures to come out and tell the truth.
Where was this picture with you and Jamie taken at, if I may ask?
Oh, we were at a Cowboys game.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, that'll do it every time.
you can stop it there. Now let's get clip 6 ready. We have another doctor that has just died, Arne Burkhardt, a German guy who was big into the exposing, like, the spike protein replacing men's sperm. And we've had a few of these. Remember, Nowak was one of those guys that got killed in Germany. There's been a few of them, but let's listen to clip 6 real quick.
Well, it is with great sadness that we have to report the unexpected passing yesterday, of one of the frontline voices of our time, Professor Arne Burkhardt. A truly humble, competent, and leading voice of our time will be missed. We as the World Council for Health have the privilege of having him with us for our causation conference, and he recently presented as an expert witness in front of the European Parliament at the last International COVID Summit. Professor Arne Burkhardt spent many years teaching at the University of Hamburg, Bern, Tübingen, as well as guest professorships, visits to Japan, USA, Korea, Sweden, Malaysia, and Turkey. He headed the Institute of Pathology in Reutlingen for 18 years, after which he worked as a practicing pathologist. Professor Burkhardt had published over 150 articles in journals and his contributions to handbooks. He has also certified pathology institutes. Professor Burkhardt stepped out of this retirement after hearing that autopsies of COVID patients and post-COVID vaccines death had been declared illegal, a no-go for a curious and moral pathologist. In a recent interview with an Austrian TV station, he reported of his latest work. It is important to mention that the majority of people came to him for a second opinion. He was so far able to demonstrate that in over 80% of the autopsies that had performed a clear or very likely association of the COVID injection has occurred. He also found in spikes in almost all organs investigated, the testicles, for example, of deceased showed signs of autoimmune reactions and toxic influences that had destroyed almost all sperms. But his findings were not limited to the male reproductive organs, but also in ovaries and also the placenta. He was able to confirm the observations of embalmers that after centrifugation of the blood or inoculated persons, strange elastic structures were formed. The pathomechanism and also the nature of these protein structures, one suspects of fibrin, must be clarified. He called for independence of medical control bodies and political investigations of the COVID management. He saw a direct connection between the increased excess mortality and the COVID vaccinations and demanded shortly before his departure that the immediate stop of the vaccinations and the activation of an independent justice for the processing of the event. Professor Arne Burkhardt, we will miss you very much and remain in gratitude for your authenticity, wisdom, competence, and human nature.
Thank you very much. All right,
you can stop it there. You can find all kinds of his lectures all over the place. I'm sure those of you that got deep into the, watching all these different doctors, he was one of them. And so now he's dead. So I covered a couple weeks ago Dr. Rashid Buttar, okay? And this is going to be clip three, Mr. Producer. We're going to start at that first part. And this is the... and I'm just going to play very short parts where this is probably the parts, and now, you know, Todd Callender, a bunch of these guys have all been saying this, but we're just going to play little parts of this right before the break here to kind of where a lot of people are saying that this information was the hot stuff that might have got him whacked. So let's go ahead and play that first part of clip three.
Now we have confirmation off this, and I'm going to go specifically and talk to you about what is actually in there. So essentially, now from two different sources, we have confirmation, and I've talked to one of those sources myself, that there's something within the vaccines that is being considered as a bioweapon, which is, again, not a new term, but that this particular component within the vaccines, it's almost like a payload. And I think of a payload, what does that mean, a payload? A payload is like when there's a detonation, you have a truck or a trailer, and it's got a bunch of dynamite or explosives on it. So they call it a payload. It's designed to deliver a massive eruption or detonation. So they call it a payload because it's not it wouldn't be like a normal onslaught. It would be like a massive onslaught. And so there's going to be a payload with some type of pathogen that will be activated by a sequence of 5G bursts. And these will be basically off of 16 to 18 gigahertz frequency. And it will be essentially three bursts that will be sequential and last a minute. And those will be designed, those bursts will actually create a signal that will release this payload that is within the hydrogel component of the vaccines. So what exactly is in there? There's supposed to be three pathogens, and these three pathogens are, I'm not 100% sure what these pathogens are, but one of them is what they call the Marburg virus, which is essentially a pathogen that mimics the hemorrhagic fever, that creates the hemorrhagic fever component. It's similar to that.
Go ahead and stop that there, and then forward to that second part. And then, so a few people have talked about this, the possibility of an embedded payload of some sort of another dormant embedded payload that could be activated through some sort of a wave or electronic trigger. It's real science fiction level stuff here. But probably not out of the realm of possibility in the world we're living at. Now let's go ahead and listen to that second part.
So when is this going to happen? I think it's going to happen probably sooner than later, sometime this year. And what can be done about it. What can be done about it? So for those people that, let's talk about the people that haven't gotten a vaccine or a booster. I believe for us, we are safe. We're safe from the hemorrhagic fever. We're safe from the fallout from this, if you will. However, if this is going to become that virulent, you know, you could pick up hemorrhagic fever from somebody else around you. But if your immune system is intact, you should be, I would be confident that if your immune system is intact, you don't have anything to worry about because you don't have that massive payload that's being introduced into your body. But for the people that have had the vaccine, what can be done? Is there anything about that? And I think I mentioned a couple of weeks ago that there is something that we had anecdotal evidence that we've been working on this for the last 2 weeks to see, and I've been looking at the research and looking at a lot of the older medical journals, and again, I don't have any conclusive proof of this, but I also don't want to talk it out openly, only because I think that this is all being listened to. In fact, I know it's being listened to. It's not that I'm concerned whether it's being, whether the message is being listened to or not from the powers that be. It's that if I don't have a large enough venue to say it, it could be stifled. That message could get stifled. So I want to release it at the Advanced Medicine Conference when we know that there'll be a few thousand people in the room and there'll be a few thousand people listening, hopefully many thousand people listening live, because once we release it, then everybody will have access to this information. I will tell you that it's going to be highly controversial, and I will tell you that it's not going to be a treatment that you have to resort to worrying about, you know, where you can get it, because it's readily accessible. What's interesting is that today I saw a report.
Now, whether that's
some sort of cocktail of adenosine, other things, which all of some of these guys say break up the spike or whatever, who knows? Dead now. See you on the other side of the plate.
Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com, or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio. Only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.